Sorry, about Jeremy Stanton.
Morning, Rabosai. The Torah of Yisro. Yeshayo Perek Vov, which the Mephoroshim say, some of the Mephoroshim say, that Sefer Yeshayo was not put in the order Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. This Perek Vov of Yeshayo is where Yeshayo's first Nevuah came in. And it's put there. Why? Different Mephoroshim about the first Perek of Yeshayo, which is Shabbos Chazon. And that comes actually at the beginning, but it wasn't the first thing that happened. It came later on. So Mephoroshim on that, anyway. So, we've got Yeshayo HaNovi sees what is called Maaseh Merkava, although the Merkava is not mentioned anywhere in this Perek. Maaseh Merkava comes from the first Perek of Yechezkel, which is the Haftorah on the first day of Shavuos. That is where the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in. But we are told that this concept, obviously one sees the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for those people who are given any kind of vision, and I cannot tell you what it looks like, because one, I haven't had it. And people who do have this vision of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it is obviously being given in a way that they are to see, but that does not mean that's the same as anybody else would see. If I say this is a piece of paper, I think you'd all agree with me that it's a piece of paper. Because we're all so equal that if Baruch Hashem we've got eyes to see with, we have no doubt what it is we are seeing. But to people who are given any kind of gilui of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it is a giloy that is for them to be seen, and it is for them, if they are to tell, how they are to put it over. Mephoroshim ask, what's the difference? Why is it that Yeshayo did not see the Merkava in as much detail as Yechezkel saw it? You look in the first Perek, it's the most difficult Haftorah, in the whole of Nach. The most difficult one is the Haftorah. I haven't spoken about it. The first day of Shavuos, the Maaseh Merkava from Yechezkel. I mean, one can read the words, one can translate the words, and then say, I have no idea what these words mean. What the Mephoroshim say, we see what the Mephoroshim are trying to explain on it. But Yeshayo, it looks much simpler. He describes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as sitting on a Kisei Rom V'Niso, which is a phrase we use in our davening. Kisei Rom V'Niso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sitting on a throne, a chair, high up, exalted. That's what he could see. So the Mephoroshim say, what's the difference between Yeshayah and Yechezkel? Is that they say that Yeshayah was in Yerushalayim, and Yechezkel was in Golos, Yechezkel was in Bovel. Yechezkel's giving a message to Klal Yisrael, and he's describing something which is far away. So if you describe Yechezkel to a person in a village, the villager says, I've seen the king. So they say, you've seen the king? Where do you see the king? The king doesn't come to this village. King's nowhere around here. The king's in the capital. King's in his palace. In those days, if you were in London, yeah, you would see the king coming out of his palace every so often, and you could see what the king looks like. But Yechezkel, so far away. So Yechezkel gives detail after detail after detail of what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looks like. So that way the people are impressed. The Yechezkel, he really has seen the king. He knows what's going on. Yeshayah lived in Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah was still in Yerushalayim in that time, in the Beis HaMikdosh. There was a Shekhinah there. So consequently, people who saw Yeshayah, he knows, he's a Novi, he knows what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looks like. He doesn't need to give so many details. It's not a question of people saying, hey, what are you talking about? What do you know about it? Yechezkel has to give lots of details so people are impressed. Yes, he has seen. Yeshaya HaNovi doesn't need to give so many details. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we doing? What is this Haftorah doing this week anyway? Yisro is Matan Torah. The whole of Klal Yisroel, for the only time in history, every single person, man, woman and child, had a Gilui Shekhinah as a Novi. The whole of Klal Yisroel turned into Nevi'im. This never ever happened again. For Matan Torah, so we are trying to compare the Haftorah that was taken was of Yeshaya HaNovi, the first Novi to see the same degree as what we saw, the Klal Yisrael saw in Matan Torah, and that's the Haftorah that Chazal picked to be connected up to the Parsha of Matan Torah. Why does Hashem appear to Yeshaya this way? Hashem appears to show him he's sitting on a throne in judgment. Yeshaya was taken in his lifetime to see the Beis Din Shel Ma'aloh. What does it look like, the Beis Din Shel Ma'aloh? To have a realization, yes, we know what a court is like. If you've either been to court or you've seen it on television, you know what a court looks like. We all know what a court looks like. But see the Rabbono Shel Olam in the Beis Din Shel Ma'aloh, you're seeing a gilui of absolutely din emes. Complete and utter truth. Go to, with great respect, to English law. Go to a court in England. You're seeing a game being played. You've got the barristers. They say their bits and they argue their bits. It's all very great and very respectful. But it's still a game. They're doing it to earn a living. And if they put over a good argument, then they will win and their client will do well. And we did very nicely. It's all a game. When Yeshaya HaNovi sees the Beis Din Shel Ma'aloh, there is no game whatsoever. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskening din emes. Truth. Absolute truth. And that's what justice looks like. And it must be terribly scary. Because we all will face it one day. To see this truth. Of you did this, you should do this, what is the next thing? Absolute MS. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yeshaya to defend the B'nai Yisrael. And Yeshaya was told, what are you doing? And Yeshaya said, I'm sorry, I didn't join in. Why, this is, in a few couple of sukkim time, we have the Pasuk of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Where the Malachim say Kadosh, Kadosh. The Midrash says, it gives a number. The number given by the Midrash, I think the Gemara connects to it as well, is 4,960 million Malachim say this Kedusha of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And they say at all different times, there are some, only two Malachim can say the Kedusha every day, and that's Michael and Gabriel. They have the Madrega to say the Kedusha every day. Every other Malach is given a time when you have the permission to say the Kedusha of the Rabbono Shel Olam. So some have it every couple of days, some every week, and there are some Malachim who have the once in their entire existence, and they've said it, they have now fulfilled their purpose of existing by acknowledging the Kedusha of the Rabbono Shel Olam. The Chofetz Chaim comments that we have this incredible ability and permission to say Kedusha every day, twice. Apart from saying Kedusha Zavor Letzion, we could say it. We say the Targum Yonason, because the Mephoshim talk about what is the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The word Kadosh means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is this holy? What is this word? A Kadosh Baruch Hu is holy. You know, everybody's own idea. Poshut Pshat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely perfect and absolutely spiritual. Anything physical deteriorates. There's nothing physical in the world that is there to last forever. It deteriorates. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing negative about the Rabbono Shel Olam, must be totally non-physical. He's totally spiritual, and he is totally perfect. There's no aspect of anything of which can be criticized, chas v'shalom in the Rabbon Shalom, that we could see a criticism. If we see something that looks wrong, it's the way we're looking that makes it look wrong. So this is the kedusha of the Rabbon Shalom, and the Malachim can recognize this, and they see it. Why the three kedushos? Why three? So this is, we say, the Targum Yonatan and Uziel, that says that the first, the Loshon of the Targum here, which is Kaddish Bishmei Merome Lo Beshachinte. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen as Kadosh in his heavenly abode, whatever that looks like, and all the Malachim and all the beings and all the Neshamos that are in this heavenly area. For once, I can't give a better word. I can't give a word. In the heavenly, the Yeshiva Shamala, Beit Shamala, everything Shamala is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, total Kedusha. That's number one. Number two is Kaddish Al Ara Ovad Gevurte. Kaddish HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, not just up there. As a lot of maybe non-Jewish people would like to believe this, God is in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. The nearest we would get to that, physically, was seeing the Beis HaMikdash. To be there, in the Beis HaMikdash, one would have a sense of the Rabbono Sholem's nearness. Now, as I said, I cannot explain it to you. I have this sense of, I can see the people here, and I am nearer to the people in the front row than in the second row. That's physical distance. Let's use a ruler to measure it. Yes? I'm nearer to what I can see than what I can't see. There's a wall there. I can't see through the wall. Yes, we all know there is a Rabbono Shel Olam. But that sense of being in the same place as the Rabbono Shel Olam could be felt more in the Beis HaMikdash when the Shekhinah rested there than anywhere else in the universe for a human being. Just by being in the Beis HaMikdash, you'd feel the Rabbono Shel Olam is here. That's Kaddish Al Ara Ovad Gevurte. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his activities. Down here. And finally, the third Kaddish, Kaddish L'Olam L'Olmei L'Mayo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, not only by what he has done in the past and doing in the present, but in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally in control and will make a world which we are going towards, which is Yemos HaMoshiach, where the world will be a godly world. Because the world as we see it at the moment is we see things going on which we cannot automatically see the Rabbono Shel Olam involved. We have to think, we have to understand, we have to ask questions, find answers. But the world as it will be in Yemos HaMoshiach will be a world that every single person here will see that the Rabbono Shel Olam is Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And this is what the world will come into, and we're getting there. In other words, we won't stay the way we are, with all the sorts of terrible things going on that we see as terrible things. There won't be there anymore. There will only be a world of serving Avodas Hashem. So, this is what Yeshaya Hanavi saw. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Yeshaya, why didn't he join in? He heard the Malachim saying, Kadosh, 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 and he didn't say it himself. And he said he felt awkward. He felt awkward. I couldn't do it, he said. Because I felt I wasn't ro'oi, I'm not great enough to talk like this. And I come from the B'nai Yisrael. And they're not holy enough. They can't, the level that they're on. I'm one of these people. By his identifying with the B'nai Yisrael, he was also criticizing the B'nai Yisrael. You want to say that you're not great enough? Sakharov said, yes, I understand you feel that. It's not right. And I forgive you for it. I forgive you for your own self-criticism. But please don't tell me about my children. You don't need to give me criticisms about my children. I know my children. My children are great people, he said. So What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't criticize the Bnei Yisrael. They said, Naseh v'nishma, when the Torah was given. And they say, Shema Yisrael, every single day, twice. My children, says the Rabban Shem to Yisrael, are not there for you to criticize. Not to me. In other words, yes, you've got a job of going to them and telling them what they should be doing. That you can do. But don't come and, so to speak, snitch back to me about how my children are doing wrong. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshaya off for the way he was talking. Right? So that's why Yeshaya didn't join in with the Kedusha, and Hashem says you should join in with the Kedusha. And as I said, the Chofetz Chaim, not sure exactly where this comes in, but he says about the human beings, you should make an effort every single day to go tefillah b'tzibur, to daven with a minyan, because it's the only place you can get kedusha. To say kedusha with a asura b'tzibur, this wonderful ability, malachim exist, who can do kedusha once in their existence. The word lifetime can't be used. Existence. And we, all you got to do is go in with another 9 men, and you say kedusha together, and you are as great as the malachim. So therefore, please, says the Chofetz Chaim, whatever you can do, try not to miss a minyan. Make sure you're always there, so you can hear Kedusha and you can join in with Kedusha. Even if you're not able to say it at the time, you can at least hear it being said. So then, we're also told, the Seraphim. There are 9 different words used for different types of Malachim. Loads of different words. And the Mephoshim go into what do they represent. And Seraphim is an angel of fire. Fire is something which we, as we see and feel fire in this world, is something hot and burning. And we humans are scared of fire because we cannot, if we touch it, it comes too near us. Chas v'shalom, what can it do to us? What can it do to our physical body? And it hurts, painful. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Seneh, when he saw the bush burning, it wasn't getting burnt up. The fire was there. The fire was powerful. You could see a powerful fire. It could be that it was even hot, but it wasn't burning up the bush. And that is how we, unfortunately, we see fire as that it burns, it destroys. But the bush was not being burnt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fire can be just as powerful without actually burning something to pieces that doesn't exist anymore. This was, and this is a Soroph. A Soroph is a malach of fire. And this fire is not a burning fire, a destroying fire. That's not what it is. It's a fire that is so powerful, but one can see it, one can be near it, without a sense of being burnt up. It's just the power of the fire without the destruction of the fire. And there's these seraphim, and we're told about the seraphim. Yeshaya saw them with 6 wings. Yechezkel saw them with 4. That's a different subject. But when Yeshaya saw the malachim that Yechezkel saw, it had 4 wings only, and these ones have 6. 2 which it covers its face, 2 which it covers its feet, and 2 that it flies. And the Mephoshim talk about what the purpose of that, so different answers are given. So one is that the malachim cover their faces, and to cover their faces so they shouldn't see the Shekhinah, because the malachim themselves are hiding, do not feel themselves great enough to stare at the Shekhinah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they cover their faces for that. And 2 of their feet themselves, they are given feet. Obviously this is non-physical, but the shape of these non-physical feet are the shape of the feet of a calf. And whatever the reason was, but since the Egel Hazov, the golden calf, the Malachim cover their feet because they don't want to upset They had the Rabbanu Shalom by the shape of their feet, which reminded the Rabbanu Shalom of the Egel Hazov, Chas V'Shalom. So consequently, they get those are covered, and they have the two which are for flying. Rav Julius Hirsch, there's one of the sons of Rav Hirsch, in his Pirush, he says on this, he says, the reason the Malachim cover their face is that they don't have to see where they are going. They are there to go without a sense of, you know, if I'm driving somewhere, I'm not just getting to my destination. I'm looking out of the window. I'm seeing. I'm looking around. While I'm going anyway, it's a pleasant trip. Let's see what's going on. But that's not the reason why I got into the car to start with. I got into the car to go from A to B. But while I'm going from A to B, it's rather fun looking out of the window. Malachim are not trying to look out of the window in any way. If the Rabbanu Shalom sends them, that's their entire purpose. In which case, don't get distracted by the view that's going on outside. They cover their faces so they do not see where they're going. Their feet, because they're one's feet, when I stop. Lahavdil, as I say lahavdil, think of a bird. Birds fly and fly, but birds also stop. We have a house across the road with a very nice picture. Every single morning, the birds are in a nice neat line on the roof going up, on the roof going down, on the edge of the roof. It's fascinating to watch. You get the impression that the birds are thinking about committing suicide, and then they jump off and fly. Right? So they're just standing there looking down. Right? So the point is, what are they? Birds have feet. We think of birds as flying because they've got wings, but they also have feet. They also stand still. They get a mockum for themselves. A malach doesn't have a mockum for himself. It's not the malach, I've done a hard day's work today. I'm entitled to have a break. I'm entitled to have a rest. Now have a cup of tea. Let me stand here. So the malachim cover over their feet so that nobody gets the impression, they don't and no one else gets the impression, that they can actually stop and stand there. So what's left? Everything's covered. But the two wings that are there totally to do the Ratzon Hashem. So that's the vision that Yeshayah saw was a vision of Malachim Maloch, of the Malachim of the Rabbanu Shalom, who have that feeling of our entire purpose is to go where the Rabbanu Shalom sends us. Whatever that purpose is, that is where we have to do, and we are not to get distracted in any way. And that's what the Malachim do. That is their flying and not being distracted. So, what happens here? It's interesting, there's a Midrash Tanchuma that brings about Kedusha. But the idea of Kedusha itself, Midrash Tanchuma brings that a segula for a lady, a yoledes, who's about to have a baby, is to go to shul and listen to and answer Kedusha. Is that an identification with the Kedusha of the Rabbanu Shalom? Maybe an identification as well of the Malachim there to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. The way the Malachim, the Koral Zel Zev Omar, is that whereas we, you hear it and you do it, you don't stop when Kedusha is about to be said and turn, excuse me, do you mind if I answer? Do you mind, can I join? You go first. But the Malachim do. We don't. We all got 10 people, say Kedusha. But the Malachim will not say Kedusha till they have permission from another Malach, and nor will they say Kedusha till they give permission to a Malach. They each have the respect that giving Kedusha to the Rabbanu Shalom is such an incredible covered that you want to, you don't just simply say, oh, give me the covered, you not shut up, I've got covered here, I'm telling the Rabbanu Shalom, no. I can only say Kedusha to the Rabbanu Shalom if you will let me. And you look at me exactly the same way. Can we all serve the Rabbanu Shalom together? Do I have your permission? The Yoledes, as I said, the Midrash Tanchuma says, is that she is about to bring a baby into the world. That baby, on one hand she could say, look, this is the greatest thing I can do. So I'm the most important person here. I'm bringing a baby into the world. What a wonderful thing I could do. Everybody else, stand there and be amazed. No. I'm doing what is the most wonderful thing. But who am I doing it for? Am I doing it for my covered? Am I doing it for my baby's covered? Or am I doing it for the Rabboni Shalom's covered? The Rabboni Shalom wants this to be done, and I'm thinking of Hashem, respect, total respect of why we're doing this. However great it is, it's not because I want to do it. Connecting with the Malachim. And that's the greatest thing a lady can do, bringing a baby into the world. So say that, to go to answer Kedusha before she has the baby. So, we have all different things. Yeshai himself felt awkward about being a Novi, awkward about telling the Klal Yisrael what to do. He didn't feel he was able to do so. Other Malachim as well, we find as well, said to the Rabboni Shalom, I can't do the job. You want me to do a job? I can't do this. Literally, who am I to tell other people what to do? Yeah, the world is full of people who think, you don't know how lucky you are that I'm telling you what to do. But a Novi, who's given, who's such a high madrega anyway, his anova is so great that a natural sense of, I can't do this. So the Rabboni Shalom has to push him to do it. The Rabboni Shalom had to argue with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had the madrega of, after 7 days, of telling the Rabboni Shalom, I cannot do this job. Not because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, I ask you to, could you solve this quadratic equation? No, I don't know how to solve it. I have to have math lessons. It's all a question of lessons. Moshe Rabbeinu could do what he was told to do, but who was he? And Moshe Rabbeinu had one person, his own godel, his brother Aaron, he looked up to, and Aaron was such a godel in relation to himself, that how could Moshe Rabbeinu himself take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? How could Moshe himself go and take the Torah for Klal Yisrael when he's got a brother who's greater than he is? He couldn't do that to his brother, so the Rabbeinu said, you have to do that. Your brother will be the Kohen Godel. So, these ideas that come in the Haftorah. So what happens that he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice saying, Es mi eshlach u mi yelech lonu, who can I send? Who's going to come? Who's going to go for us? And so the Yeshaya then said, Hineni shlocheni. Hineni is I am ready. That sense, Hineni, is that here I am, means I am totally available. Not here I am and start running. It's I am here, this is my availability. I am, if you want me, Rabboni Shalom, I'm totally, utterly available to do exactly what you would like me to do. And then says, Shlocheni, send me. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, go and tell the people. Shimu Shomar Val Tovinu. The people aren't even going to listen to you. He's giving Yeshaya a job of going to tell Musa to the B'nai Yisrael, and he's telling Yeshaya before he starts that the people will not even listen. Fascinating job. Right? Putting you as a teacher in front of a class, and the headmaster tells you there's no way you're going to be able to actually get through to the children, but I want you to go and stand there anyway and try. Your job is to stand there and try, but they won't listen. So that's what's going to happen. Hashmein levar mazeh. Their heart is fat. Osnov hachmei, the ears are blocked. Einov hosha, the eyes are sealed. Because why? Because they don't want to do teshuvah. Those are the people you're going to give musa to. Yeah, good audience this. They don't want to listen. Who say they don't want to listen? One Rebbe goes and says to the other Rebbe, is that I've tried speaking to them, they're useless, I can't talk to them. There's no way. That's human to human. Is the Rabboni Shalom signing them off? Well, are they? They can't do it. They won't be able to do it. They won't listen to you. And nevertheless, then Yeshaya says, so how long is it going to last? If you're giving me a job to do that is impossible, it means that there will be some time in the future when we will get there. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you're right. You've got the right point. You have to keep going until we reach a stage where the people will listen to you. And that may take a long time. They'll go into Golus after Golus, and only a small amount will come back. But because of what you're doing now, You are having a responsibility towards the Klal Yisrael of the future. Even if you cannot achieve anything now, you do the best you can, and it will affect their great-great-great-great-grandchildren. So that is the tachlis. If you can't get through to the audience today, somebody will pass it on to their children, something will continue, and Klal Yisrael will all come back. As we said, the third Kadosh is talking about the future. Even if you cannot see it at the moment, it's already written down. It's going to happen. Mi'etz Hashem, there will be a Klal Yisrael of Shalom, a Klal Yisrael of Brocha, and it all connects up to the Rabbeinu Shalom making the world, giving the Torah to the world, and the Rabbeim and the Nevi'im doing their job. Mi'etz Hashem, we do what we can to help. Yeah, dear.